Jose, did you hit record? It's recording. I don't know why. Jose?
Yes, Sharon, I noticed it's recording, but I did not.
Do you want me to stop it and you'll start it again?
Do you have access to it? I can't even see where it is.
Okay, I don't know why. I have a record button.
Okay.
Maybe I have to turn it on. I'll start it. Tell me when you want me to do it.
Okay.
So there's two callers that are identified. You want to see if any of them are
Steve?
You want me to do that or can you do that?
Jose has to do it.
Okay.
Jose, would you unmute caller number 7?
Yeah, I'm not able to unmute the attendee list.
Okay, let me go in there and I don't know how this sharing thing works here. Hi, caller 7.
This is Bryant. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, I'm gonna move you to the panelist.
Okay, because I'm trying to get on. I can't, for whatever reason,
I
this
know.
Is the second. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to move you. And it's not letting me. Come on. How do I get control back on this? How do I take it back from you? It's not letting me make him a panelist. Meanwhile, let me figure out who's a caller 8. Hi, who is this? Caller 8?
Are you talking to me?
Yep. Hi.
You. Oh, you can hear me now. All right. Yeah, because I could hear you saying caller 8 and 7. I don't know who caller 8 or 7 is.
Okay.
This is Steve Marash. I tried logging in through the WebEx thing. It didn't work, so I just called in.
Right. Perfect. We're going to get you over to the panel shortly. So hang in there. Okay, so caller 7 and 8 are panelists, but my make panelist button is now gray.
Jose, try it.
Yeah, it's not working for me either.
How can I grab this back from you? Not letting me. You have me share. No. I don't see how to grab this back from you.
Is it because they're audio only?
Yeah, because they came in as attendees and we need to move them. But Jose and I both have.
But did they come in on audio only? Because maybe that's it and they just didn't go through the website. Which then, if they go through the website, then you would be able to move.
I went through the
attendees. Brian's already there.
Oh boy. Let's see. All I can do is mute and unmute them, but I can't move them. Somehow it's not showing their name. So like when I moved the others, it showed their name. Is there something that has to do?
No, it's how they called in. Carl, what we can do is we can go ahead and start the presentation and we can leave the mics available for the other two PC members to participate,
okay.
If that works.
Well, I'm trying to understand. So the WebEx is not working?
Correct.
Oh, it is.
But was it working for me?
It didn't work for me.
It kept telling me the meeting was not started, so Sonia said just call in, so that's what I did.
That's why.
Oh,
that's why you're not being able to.
But if that's
why we can't move them.
Hold on, I gotta.
Ron Bark is trying to get connected too. He's having the same problem I was.
Paulette, did you still want me to start?
I think we should.
Okay. I'll just get the, I'll read slow. So good morning, good evening. I'd like to call this online planning commission work session to order Thursday, November 5th, 2020. My name is Carl Johnson and I am the chairman of the Clark County Planning Commission. Due to the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, regular meetings and public hearings of the Clark County Planning Commission will be held in a room for safe participation by commission members, staff, as appropriate, public. Members of the public, applicants, and Planning Commission guests have joined as an attendee, which means you can see and hear the event if you join via computer or mobile device, or you can just hear the event by phone. Other event participants cannot see you on video and cannot hear your audio unless you are acknowledged by the commission chair or staff and are unmuted. There will not be any public comment during this work session. Members of the public can watch and listen. This evening agenda is planned as follows. Tonight we will be working on the comprehensive plan text amendments, countywide planning policies, and land use element policy. And I believe that's the only thing that's on the docket. With that said, what I would like to do right now, if there is any public out there by chance, is just give us maybe 1 or 2 minutes till we put technical difficulties out of the way, and then I'll start back up when we have all of our planning commissioners present. And I apologize for that delay. It's just been a little clunky. We'll get there. So just give us 1 second. So right now, looks like me and Bryant, Matt, is that correct?
I'm here, Bryant is here.
Bryant's here and then Matt's here.
Ron's in the process of calling in.
Okay. Tanya, do you want me to do a roll call tonight, or are you just gonna you just keep track of it by saying what you see?
Sharon, can you move Mike and Ron here pretty soon?
Yeah, let's see. There's Mike. Okay, make a panelist. Ron, make a panelist. Okay, those two are over. I think we're good. Oh, I think we're good.
Yeah, Brian's tip helped. Thank you, Brian.
There we go.
All
right.
Okay, planning commissioners, I already have read the blurb that we normally do for COVID. I'd like to welcome and call this meeting to order for November 2020. Just for to confusion's sake, can we get a roll call to make sure we know who's here and who's not? Are you up?
Roll call. Brian Halbert.
Present. Present.
Carl Johnson.
Present.
Matt Swindell.
Yeah.
Ron Barca.
Present.
Ron Barca?
Present.
Steve Marash?
Here.
Hey, did I miss anyone?
Miss me, Brian Inge.
Oh. Brian Dengue.
Inge.
Thank you.
Brian Halbert? Inge. Okay. Brian Dengue.
Inge. Yes. Thank you. Okay. All right. With that, up next, we will be dealing with CPZ 2020-0008, which is the Comprehensive Plan Text Amendments, Countywide Planning Policies, and Land Use Element Policy. Mike, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, you're on, my friend.
Okay. Just to let you guys know, this is Mike Salas. I've been with the county literally 11 months, and this is my first work session with the Planning Commission. Just wanted to introduce myself. Basically, we're talking about two amendments to the countywide planning policy and comprehensive plan policy amendments. The two that in particular that we're talking about is under CPZ 2020-0008. And the first one is recognizing the Cowlitz tribe as a federally recognized tribe in the comprehensive plan to ensure that the tribe is part of the project coordination process under the Growth Management Act. The other one in particular is with the city of Woodland, and it's to allow for the density target of 4 units per net residential acres in the city of Woodland on the Clark County side. And it's also to provide a policy regarding the urban growth area within Woodland. Just to give, you can go to the next slide. Just to give you kind of a bit about the two in particular, the Cowlitz tribe, basically, it's been federally recognized since 2000, basically. And they've been federally recognized by the United States, so they're a sovereign nation, or considered a sovereign nation ever since then. We have been working with the tribe on a number of issues, and they've been part of ongoing coordination with the county and the county and city committee that we have in Clark County. And so this is just something that has not been addressed in the comp plan. It is something that kind of helps solidify the ongoing coordination that we have with the city, or I'm sorry, with the tribe. And this is definitely something that's would help support it. Go to the next slide. So basically what I was saying. One of the things I wanted to talk about, just to let you guys know, under RCW 2070A 2104, it states that federal agencies and Indian tribes may participate and coordinate with countywide planning policy adoption process. So this kind of helps solidifies that we're in the right direction with not only the Growth Management Act, but with other state agencies as well. Next slide. This right here is just showing the area that that's tribe owns next to I-5, which is basically the Alena area. There is a small little triangle piece that's there, and I believe that's part of where they had, fuel stations and those type of areas. This boundary is what it is for now, but it may grow depending on the growth of the tribe. But it's something that we would work with the tribe to as far as the coordination of that. Next slide. The other one is Woodland, and this is one that we've worked with the city of Woodland for quite some time. And the Wood City approached the city / county coordination committee to seek this amendment through the comprehensive plan. The other part of that is being able to identify specific areas within Woodland, knowing that since Woodland is split between Clark County and Cowlitz County, and Cowlitz County is not yet required to fully regulate under GMA, we're hoping that this will help support what we can do from the city side and where we can actually coordinate later with Cowlitz County as the city starts to grow and expand their urban growth area. Next slide. This here is just showing the boundary of Clark County with relationship to the city, and which this is a little bit better area for seeing the city. And I'll see if we can do something more tangible for the hearing itself. But it basically shows sort of that boundary and where we are at this point. So next slide. So basically our recommendations are to approve this to the county council, Clark County councilors, to amend the countywide planning policies under RCW 3670A 210. Do you guys have any questions with regards to this?
Report, it says that that it's on the east side of Interstate 5.
I'm sorry, you are breaking up. I didn't hear most of it. Could you repeat yourself?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
And maybe I'm just missing it, but when I was reading the background, it said tribe has purchased land on the east side of Interstate 5. So that's not the side. We're not talking about the side of the casino. This is Brian Inge. I'm sorry. I should have said my name before. But this is Brian Inge. And so my question is, are we talking about the east side or the west side of Interstate 5?
I'm not sure about what they've purchased in the past. This is only the area that we know that they actually do own. I don't know if they're still in the process. I'm not sure. But with regards to what we're talking about for this, it's only for, recognizing the tribe as a key component to coordinating for land use type projects. But as far as something else, as far as a different project, that probably is something that, we're probably going to talk to the tribe later. But This particular issue is only looking at it from a recognition standpoint.
Okay, I'm just trying to bring clarity in terms of the background staff report. And in the staff report, it says the east side of Interstate 5. And so that threw me off. I think the casino is on the west side of I-5.
Yes, so it is. So that might have been something that they've overlooked. I'll make that
questions. This is Matt Swindell. So we've been working with the Cowlitz tribe in the past as it pertains to GMA, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And why now are we wanting to bring this in and make it a formal thing? Is there a specific reason why we're wanting to make it a formal thing? Is there a legal reason for this?
I think it brings them to the table for issues that deal with land use projects.
But we said that they're already working with this on GMA. Aren't they already there?
They are already working with us. This just solidifies it from a legal standpoint as well as
from a legal standpoint. Okay, from that legal standpoint, how much say does that sovereign nation have on what we do with GMA in the United States? Because they're a sovereign nation, like you said. How much influence, how much authority do they have over what we do?
Well, as far as authority, I'm not sure, but from a standpoint of being a cooperating agency, they have the same weight as the federal government as a sovereign nation.
They're a sovereign nation and not our federal government, so I would disagree with that statement, although I'm not an attorney. But I'm questioning, if we're working with them already, why are we wanting to solidify this? I don't understand why we need to solidify.
Matt, I can help answer that question. Hi, Matt. This is Colette. I can answer that question for you. We have informally been coordinating with the tribe and the cities on growth, transportation, a lot of different issues. And in the RCW, it specifically identifies that we should be working cooperatively with the tribe. And this is something that we proactively would like to formalize. There are a lot of issues regarding growth. Transportation is a significant one where they are a good partner at the table, and it allows us to look at things holistically. Now, you ask the question, how much input do they have? What can they do? I think anybody who is interested in how Clark County grows and wants to have a voice, it's good to bring them to the table. As far as decision making, there isn't much there. It's the county council that makes all the growth decisions. So I hope I've answered your questions. I think this is a very good thing, and we're in total support of it.
Okay. Thanks.
Matt, Brian Halbert here.
Excuse me. Brian, really quickly, this is Carl. Hey, really quickly, I think we're stepping on each other. So, Brian, I'll let you go next, but let's just make sure that we're not. I it sounds like two or three of us are walking on each other. So if we can't, we can just raise your little hand thingy there. It'll make it easy. And I'll try to call on you that one. Thanks.
Fair enough, Carl. Thanks. I'll watch that too. Just looking at the land use changes, it does define the tribe's relevant jurisdiction as adjacent properties that would be affected or affect the tribe itself. So really, their jurisdiction wouldn't be much beyond their adjacent properties. But Michael, a question for you. Would that also put the tribe on the SEPA notice list as receiving SEPAs from the county or any developments in the county?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken, they already were on the list. So there wouldn't be any change with regards to that.
And Michael, I have Brian Halbert again. One other question is, what is an example of the mutual interests or the work that you've been doing together? Just curious of what they have been discussing with you at the table that would support the solidification of including them in our GMA.
Perhaps Colette has a little bit more history since I'm so new to the county. I've had very little exposure as far as what they have done between Clark County as a whole and other cities. But what I do know is that they are interested in being part of the community from that perspective. And unless someone else knows a little bit more about what the history is with Calhous County with regards to Clark County and how they've worked together. The only one that I've been a part of is the part where we were talking about the city of Woodland. And I know that they were part of that decision-making along with the cities when they asked for the amendment to the urban growth area.
Are there any other, Ron, you guys on the telephone?
Yeah, not regarding Cowlitz, but going to the Woodland proposition. I know that the county is in the midst of looking at housing options and trying to come up with affordability. And I am wondering, is this something that's also going to get layered over the Woodland portion as it becomes more evident what the county's policy is? The reason I'm asking the question is I'm a little concerned about a continual wave of housing discussions with Woodland if we're not quite ready to know what we want from the county's perspective. And I'll go ahead and mute.
Travis, would you like to respond?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So the city of Woodland is in an interesting situation because all of the Clark County, City of Woodland, and urban growth boundary overlap. In other words, there's nothing currently within our urban growth boundary that is not covered by the countywide policies. But we were looking at a discussion of whether or not we would expand our urban growth boundary to the Clark County side of the Lewis River. And we currently do not have that option because this language is not in the countywide planning policy. We also know that under growth management that Clark County has allotted no population growth for the city of Woodland. And so we know that we couldn't expand our urban growth boundary into Clark County because of that reason. So we are only doing this as the first step to lay the groundwork. So should the city ever want to expand into Clark County, it would be an option. But currently there are no requests, there are no plans, there are no utility plans that would include service into Clark County. So there's no formal plan. We're only laying the groundwork in case it ever comes up within the next 20 years, theoretically. Ron, does that answer your question?
Okay, so I'm assuming, Travis, you're speaking for the city of Woodland at this moment. And that being said, that comes back to the question, I think, was for the city of Woodland and the tolerance of trying to have a growing relationship with Clark County if we are in the midst ourselves of still redefining what housing options, densities, affordability plans, and so forth would look like. Will the city be tolerant of us continuing to evolve, which it feels like to me with the new initiative coming on about housing options, that we're probably on the verge of asking for that for people that have a growing urban growth boundary, which potentially sounds like it could be Woodland. That was really the question.
Okay, so yes, the answer to that is yes, we recognize that that is going on. It may not be relevant because we have zero population projection, but that won't always be true. We're making the assumption at some point we may ask for some population projection. But we are also planning or working on a housing action plan under the State House Bill 1923, which is the Increasing Urban Densities State House Bill. And so we are looking at changing our code to increase densities, and I am hoping that we will get a lot of those desired housing options incorporated into the city code. So I don't see that being a future problem because hopefully we will already have the tools in place before hopefully that becomes an issue. And I'd also like to point out that 94% of our population is in Cowlitz County. And we plan under the Growth Management Act because of an Attorney General's opinion. And so my expectation is that we are going to be consistent with GMA and therefore the countywide planning policy for the portion that's in Clark County going forward.
Thank you. I don't have any other questions.
Thank you, Ron. Steve, do you have anything?
No, not at this time. Thanks.
Okay. All right. I hope I got everybody. Is there anybody else that have any other comments? Any other questions?
Yeah, Carl. Okay. Albert here again.
Okay, Brian.
So, just Michael, you mentioned this, but the map doesn't really clearly show the boundary of the proposed area that's going to be affected by this. Is there any way, or I just suggest that it'd be helpful if we could see what the boundary is, not the Calais tribe boundary, but the Woodland boundary that for the 4 units per acre density.
Actually, Brian Collette again, the map actually shows you the little thumb that is in Clark County that's also connected to the city of Woodland. I mean, that's it. That's the whole area right now that density would be applied to. But what we're doing is we're building on future expectations. By having the policies in place, it allows us during the next periodic update or any future update to look at the total population projections and actually say, okay, Woodland, you're now at the table with the rest of the cities. How much density and population are we going to give to you? At which point the UGA boundary would grow into Clark County more. And that new area would also have that 4 density per net residential area.
Okay, thanks, Collette. I guess I get that better. It is a small area on the map, isn't it?
It's very tiny. It's Horseshoe Lake, basically.
So I do have one other question regarding the GMA code change. And it's really in Chapter 8, the Historic Archaeological and Cultural Preservation Element. 8.0.1, it just talks about cultural and historic sites being exempt from public disclosure. Anybody could explain what that means or what's going on with that?
Yep. Sharon, would you like to respond to that?
So the department, the Washington State Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation, keeps that information. It's not publicly available to prevent looting. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, if that's all it is, that's understandable. Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments from any of the planning commissioners? Okay, great job tonight. Are there any other topics for discussion? Slight reminder from your chairman. I don't know if you've got the email from planning regarding our attendance. Mental note, about once a year, and I've been guilty of this in years past, you know, gotta get reminded. We're a soldier down, so, you know, make sure if we can make them, we make our meetings. And I know this is difficult. It's very difficult here, Ron. I want to thank you for battling through this. And, you know, sometimes the internet up here is good. Sometimes it's not. So just try to make the meetings. I know we're winding down here at the end of the year with the holidays. So our load usually, I think, lightens up. That's just a thought. So that was my only other topic for discussion. Next. At our next hearing, we should be electing a chairman and a vice chair. So if anybody is interested in that position, if except you, Matt. Any questions? Okay, with that, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Carl.